This is Mark Mullinex. Welcome back to Power for the Peaceful, a podcast and class on Taoism. Today, verse 36, mating your compliments.
When you listen to the ground and you put your roots down, you can hear what she says if you're listening. When you listen to the ground and you put your roots down, you can hear what she says if you're listening. The sweet sound of the river as she moves over the stones. The same song that the blood in your body sings as it weaves around your bones. When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening?
A process cannot be understood by stopping it. Understanding must move with the flow of the process, must join it and flow with it. Frank Herbert.
I'm excited to be with you today. Our reader today is Tebbe Davis, who describes himself this way.
My name is Tebbe Davis. I live in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm a local tour guide, artist, poet, and man about town.
I think you'll enjoy his strong voice. Today's verse 36 is one of those strange ones that leaves us head scratching at times. But there is this important teaching about the necessity of our compliments, that is, the mating of those parts of ourselves that seem contradictory, like growing and dying at the same time, which most of us are doing right now, or feeling our strength and vulnerabilities at the same time. The key here is awareness of the apparent contradictions at the same time. In our awareness and in our intentional mating or joining of these apparent contradictions lies our secret superpower. So here's verse 36. Take it away, Tebbe.
Verse 36. First things first. To expand, first shrink. To strengthen, no weakness. To promote, understand rejection. To be endowed, no deprivation. Subtle enlightenment is this. The pliable outlasts the inflexible, and the gentle and soft last, while the strong and hard fade. Take a lesson from deep-dwelling fish who thrive only in the hidden depths. Force and power should likewise stay hidden.
This verse has perplexed me a long time. I've had to live with it for quite a while before I felt like I could do this episode. At first reading, if you're like me, you're going, "What? What is being talked about? Is the verse trying to get us reconciled and deciding in favor of one among two apparently contradicting states that we feel? Does verse 36 link the apparent dyads or complements in our lives into an inherent, natural relationship? Is this an expansion of yin and yang? Or is this a prescriptive lesson for all life, which could be summarized that to be or to experience something, one must embrace its apparent complement? I'm reminded of my own parents, whose stock phrases I remember still. Good times will always follow bad, or it's always darkest before the dawn. So, at the start, I tremble to name only one interpretation for this verse. And then, what about those last two lines about fish, force, and power? I'll have more to say about these lines near the end of today's episode. So, to start out, maybe my phrase just before or above, apparent compliments, is the problem. The word compliment indicates a two-ness to things. Yes, we do experience a two-ness at times, or an inner sense of division or disunion, even if we are not locked into a dualistic worldview. For more about the hazards of a strict dualistic worldview, see this podcast treatment of verse 2. What's not being talked about is dualism as we usually experience it. Tao's worldview has no need for a strict dualism. a worldview in which one of the complements is prior, either in time or prior in desirability. That is, in a strict dualism, one side of the dyad is obviously better than its complementing mate. But which is prior, folks? Breathing in or breathing out? Heads or tails? Or beginning a journey of 1,000 miles? Or finishing that journey? Which is better or prior? With either or dualism, you see, you're locked in. Without the dualistic mindset prison, you're part of an open process. So this episode carries the name Mating Your Complements, Marrying Your Apparently Divided Selves. Yes, there can be a two-ness to things. Like on the first cool day of autumn, an outside temperature of 45 degrees Fahrenheit or 7 degrees Celsius seems really cold. However, in the springtime, that first day of 45 degrees Fahrenheit seems welcome and warm. Same temperature, different feelings. Flip a coin 100 times and you're likely to get a rough equality of heads and tails. Same coin, different sides. Where's the priority? When does the feeling of pushing become the feeling of pulling? When does breathing out become breathing in? Can't do both at the same time, nor just one forever, like forever having an in-breath. Otherwise, your breathing days are quite over. So I'm concluding now, at least for now, that these dyads are to be understood as expansive examples of yin and yang. One day has both darkness and light, which imperceptibly merges into each other. I mean, when does a sunset begin? When does it end? I can be considered, even at my age, young or old. I experience aches and pains of an older person, yet I feel like a teenager most of the time. But to get to this age, however, I've had to let go of and let die many things and people. And yet these things and people are hardly dead to me, but fully alive in my memory. I can be at the same time with and without, energetic and at rest, grasping yet freeing. These are hardly contradictions, but energies, forces, or states we all have and share. In every yin, there's a yang. In every yang, there's a yin. It's all part of one process, a single process without the artificial points we have described, like up or down, inside or outside, etc. It's a process that includes all these characteristics on a continuum.
When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening? When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening?
Nothing is ever complete in itself, never finished. When does a teenager become an adult? Is there a point, a time? When does a psychic stage called adulthood even begin? All we need is just that awareness of what is happening now, and that what is happening at the moment is both partial and enough. That's what this verse is saying. We're in a process, folks. No one is the same as they were 20 years ago, and yet seeds of what we were 20 years ago remain in us as energies, however latent or blatant. So here's my own, well, updating of this verse with perhaps some more practical applications for us today. See the pairs in each of my short sentences to come as points on a spectrum, but points never isolated or alone. Points that, like the yin-yang symbol, contain parts of the entire in each part. Indeed, there are no parts per se, but a flowing, interactive, and interpenetrating whole. To talk about parts is itself a linguistic mistake. So here's my update. To show up, one is first absent. To be energetic, One is first at rest. To stand, practice sitting. But at what point does one's lap appear or fade? To breathe in, kindly breathe out. To learn, and I mean really to learn, know what it's like to unlearn. To achieve something, know what doing nothing is all about. To grasp, free up. To lock down, open up. Decay is a good way to know growth. Death is essential for being alive. Health is a good incentive to heal from wounds. Apathy is to love, as lacking is to enough. Perplexity pairs with clarity. Potential mates with reach. Leading suggests following, like clarity relates to confusion. New and old pair like within and beyond, or within and without. Trust and mistrust, reverence and scorn, just two sides of one coin. The lesser is breathing out. The greater is only breathing in. Who's to say which is better? Better is it to join, marry, and mate than to divide, vanquish, and destroy that which has made you, you. This is radical stuff. Radical is Tao, and radical means root. Tao is at the root of all things, roots that can produce both dark and light flowers, big and small plants together, the lesser and the greater. Tao is the root that produces all the 10,000 things, things that are not to be classified as good or ill, as beginnings or endings, or as mature or immature. They are just things, part of a swirling flow of energies and lives. Tao is therefore radical in our highly divisive, dualistic age. Tao teaches us to consider all things, all energies, all things we may consider lesser or greater, all peoples, all life as equally important. The sparrow has as much voice as the politician. A young voice is equal to an older voice. No higher, no lower, no better, no worse, just a spectrum that is not the same if just one particle is forgotten, omitted, or dismissed. The realization that if you would have a thing expanded, you must first shrink it, or to be endowed, no deprivation, and so on, simplifies life greatly. Instead of opposites being at odds and fighting with each other, they merge, they fit into each other, and mate to produce a beautiful wholeness. There's no need for the usual chaotic choices of embracing something but rejecting another. To know how both things in our sensing, the two-ness of life, are merely two faces of one reality. This is a softener to the fabric of life. Softened gazes, softened apprehensions. Softening leads to deeper understanding than any dualistic dyad presentation ever could. As we slow down in our softening, many things become easier. Forgiveness, respect, even integrity. Why? Because we don't hold on to things and suffer what I've often described as spiritual rote burn.
Each day, we are challenged to see the same familiar people and landscapes with new eyes. Just as the cosmos is created and sustained anew, each moment, everything is alive and changing, ourselves included, if we are spiritually awake and paying attention. Estelle Frankel.
Dualism is a bad way to regard things. It's like you button up a shirt wrong and yet never feel the need to correct it, because in dualism, you never, ever project weakness or mistakes. Dualism is a never self-correcting stance. A committed dualist never feels they are need in correction or asking forgiveness. The proper stance, teaches this verse 36, is to go back to the beginning of our regard for things and soften glances, attitudes, and reactions. Mating your compliments is a happier marriage than destroying parts of yourself that made you, you. Ancient Chinese thought is often done in polarities like this, like yin and yang. Yin and yang are related energies, but, and here's the key, they work and fold in together to produce something new. The Chinese were not alone in this conception of the world. Indeed, in many traditions around the world, reality is seen as the dynamic between two opposites. They may be light and dark, high and low, hot and cold, life and death, good and bad, and so on, but they are relatives, not enemies. Lao Tzu, in his highly chaotic time of the Warring States period, was also fond of yin and yang, though he saw a single unity. Tao, at the very root of everything. Mating things together, not dividing things, was his countercultural project called Taoism or Tao Te Ching. So in stretching and shrinking, in strengthening and weakening, in promotion and rejection, can you discern relation and not warfare? Mutual dependence and interdependence happens. They are real team members, not really enemies. This is comparable to what happens in our breathing. Inhaling precedes and enables exhaling, which empowers inhaling, and so on. There is no ideal middle point between exhalation and inhalation. Clinging to some idealized point in the breathing process, like inhaling is better than exhaling, that's the place where we suffocate. The so-called opposites intermingle continuously. It's never just the one or the other, not even a resting place between them. Music is not just sound and silence, but the relation in and among them. Things may expand or diminish, decline or ascend, but they are never completely still and frozen. What we cherish or abolish, enrich or deprive, never can stay for long in one solid or frozen state of affairs. The whole universe is all about movement and change. Change happens, or else real death occurs. You are the same you of 20 years ago, and yet the constellation of forces, energies, and expressions of you are the same and yet different. So what do? We practice resilience, not domination.
It is not the strongest of species that survive, nor the most intelligent, but the one most responsive to change. Charles Darwin. The bamboo that bends is stronger than the oak that resists. Japanese proverb.
Even in death, the process continues. Change still happens. What dies, decays, and decomposes, only later to reemerge as material in a new creature. Death is thus not a stop to things, but part of a moving flow. Thus, we can speak of a kind of immortality, a sort of reincarnation, a category called resurrection. And we know this. The dead are not dead, but alive in another form, even if it's just memories. Nothing ever calls it quits. Our dyads and complements interact continuously, always in motion. It's never just the one or the other in play, not even a resting place between them. All shrinks or expands, every force, within or without, weakens and strengthens, but is never completely still. The whole universe is about movement and change, yin and yang. Once again, let's look at ourselves closely this time. Are you not a mixture of griefs and joys, waxing strengths and waning strengths, hesitations and firm resolutions, things dormant and things obvious? Look at the late Desmond Tutu. He was the incarnation of someone who carried deep griefs and yet was the very epitome of a joyful person. Cannot we see ourselves and carry ourselves as ones containing not contradictions, but as powerfully integrated persons who can respond with resilience to a variety of conditions and situations, using all of us, all of our resources, even what we consider weak, as our superpower to meet life's demands? Being a mixture of forces is not weakness, it is resilience. We are yoked and more integrated in our awareness of our complements, not inwardly divided or conquered by them. So how do we live in the midst of this ever-swirling process? Can we develop new eyes to see and new ears to hear the rhythms of the dyads without the Johnny One notes that dualistic opposites sound out? Can we loosen our commitment to single and highly controlled outcomes? So relax. No state is permanent. Nothing lasts. Just like water, soft water carves hard rock, so too may we. Soften up so they don't break on hardened categories or thinking.
When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening? When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening?
Take a lesson from deep-dwelling fish who thrive only in the hidden depths. Force and power should likewise stay hidden.
These final two lines seem out of place in this verse, and they might very well be. How does a verse on mating our complements find wisdom in fish, force, and power? I cannot find in Tao Te Ching any place where these two lines may be a better fit. The only other place where fish are mentioned is in verse 60, one that teaches that to govern well is similar to how one cooks a fish, very carefully and simply. No poking around, no playing around with it, or else the fish gets ruined. So a reminder, the 81 verses of Tao Te Ching are but a later and sometimes arbitrary dividing of a single unnumbered text, much like the Bible originally contained only books, but were not divided into chapters and verses. Someone else did that. Someone else added the verse divisions in Tao Te Ching as well. The original Tao Te Ching text had no divisions, no individual verses. Perhaps in the division of this text into verses, some lines may have been misplaced or grouped in ways that Lao Tzu did not intend. But what if these lines are not displaced? Again, I can find no scholarly commentary on the weird placement of these two lines. So what if fish and power might be part of 36's message? And if they are, maybe we can see these lines as contributing to the verse as a whole. Let's say the force and power are military might and weapons. Any wise military leader would agree that it's bad strategy to show or flaunt one's weapons and military power. Reason? What is unknown to an enemy raises more fear than even the largest army could do. Unseen weapons, unseen forces can be more threatening to the enemy than the sharpest and shiniest swords in obvious display. In any battle, the side overconfident in its military prowess is sometimes made the bad example in military academies. Who can ever be sure of having military superiority? The side most brazenly confident and showy of its strength is often the surprised loser. But the side which hides its true numbers is a side that may be confronted and challenged less, which is a very Taoistic understanding. This could be a good place to see marriage of Wu Wei, or not being showy and obvious, with yin and yang, or how the parts of a person, country, or world work together in harmony. in some European places, it was the usual practice to regard one's true population as a state secret, especially in countries where they assumed that neighboring countries were more populated, or when they had learned that their own numbers were overestimated by the neighbors. Because the less the enemy knows, the better for you. So these last two lines can be part of this verse, if we consider that our hidden parts can be rather powerful as long as they remain hidden. Show your cards too soon, and you're bankrupt in poker. So do not overreach. Desire, excess, and being all showy about things lead to their very opposite states, the very opposite of what one may truly need to be, and thus the very opposite of resilience. And that opposite is only hardened categories, closed minds, hardened hearts. Thus ends our class today. Your homework is to begin this process, or to begin again your inventory of your attributes. See each of your attributes as a strength, a power for peace when mated to what you regard as your deficits. When united within, you are a power for peace wherever you are. And now, let's talk about Tebby's question.
Okay, Tebby, thanks for being here today. I appreciate your reading for us. Now, have you a question for us?
Yeah, I think I do. It's a question that I've had my whole life. And it comes down to the oneness that the Tao preaches and how we exist in this world where there's obviously some separation between what is me and what is you and where the two intersect. I have a belief there is no other. How does this verse explain that to me with the different sides of soft and hard and light and dark and all the rest of this particular verse?
Yeah, the verse speaks about these apparent polar opposites. But and we in our initial dualistic reading of this, we in the West, because we're all, most of us are basically dualist. In our dualist understanding in the West, we want to make these as opposites and not complements. And so when we're dualists, we say one thing is good, and by the way, I'm it. And other things are bad, and by the way, that's someone else. And we never get to the point as a dualist to recognize that we contain, as Walt Whitman said, we contain multitudes. We have all these things going on in us, these energies swirling around with us. And, you know, if I'm a dualist and I recognize all these energies, I would say that I'm a walking contradiction. But no, these are all powers, energies, flows, forces within me or within the world that are actually yin-yang, working together. They are handshaking. And your handshake, as you just show me, it could form a kind of yin-yang symbol itself. So the idea here is that there are no enemies.
No.
There's no enemies. There's no sense that you're one thing and I'm another, and you know, I'm heterosexual and you're not, and you know, it's a spectrum. It's just a spectrum.
It could also be there's like a coin. You have a quarter. You flip it heads or tails.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's still the same coin.
It's still the same coin.
And that's where I look at when I make the yin yang sign by locking my two hands together.
Yeah.
Into like it looks like the yin yang sign there. Because there's a black and there's white, and there's a white dot on the black side and a black dot on the white side, but it's all the same circle.
Yeah, it's all interpenetrating all. Everything is active. There's no particle in me or you that is really adversely affecting me or you. It's all part of a process, and we're never finished. And especially if we think that we're separate, we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
We are really, really co-integrated with one another. And Taoism is not the only spirituality in the world that says this, but there's a lot of In fact, most non-dualist religions or spiritualities do say and teach that what you do to the one, you do to the all. That there is nothing that you can do where you have this private place where you can be a kind of person and never affect the larger group.
And doesn't Jesus even say that what you do to the least of you, you do to everyone?
Yes. Yeah. Or you do to me.
Which, do to me.
Yeah, you do to me. But you can say, if as a good Christian, you would say that what you do to anyone, you're doing to Jesus himself. So that is a way in the Christian understanding to understand that we are not standalones.
No, I believe that. Yeah. I believe we are not standalones. Yeah. Everything. When I do tours, when I do history lessons, I know that every event came from another event and will lead to a third event. But it's all in the same lineage, same processes.
Yeah. There's nothing we can do to isolate our actions or what we think, because it all bleeds over, blends in, interpenetrates. It's like a tea bag in hot water letting loose its stuff into the water. And then you can't separate the tea from the water. And that's
an excellent metaphor.
That's how we are.
You can never separate the tea from the water.
Yeah. So my fellow dualists out there, let's give up this dualist crap. It doesn't take us anywhere except to ego defined and ego maintained, hardened positions that somehow we are isolated one from the other. No, what we do to the universe, we do to ourselves. And what we do to ourselves, even if it's behind closed doors, we're doing to the universe.
I concur.
Anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Tebby. It's such a joy. Thank you.
This podcast is an original labor of love designed, written, and co-produced by many, whose central idea is that Tao Te Ching is good news for today. Tao still speaks. Tebby Davis voiced our quotes this week. Thank you. Audrey Davis is our valued artist. Molly Hartwell sings her song, Put Your Roots Down. Fortress Press holds the copyright for quotations from my Tao Te Ching translation. Thank you for your attendance in this class on Taoism. May your days begin in peace and become wombs for radical hope.
Are you listening?